Good morning, Symphony. Welcome to our morning devotional. Today's passage is Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 18. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And any of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go, every man to his home." So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade, and he said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down, so that the tent lay flat." And his comrade answered, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp." As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand." And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jars. He said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Amen. For context, yesterday we saw that God had given Gideon a mission. He said, "I will be with you and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." Gideon had his doubts and tested God, asking for a sign not once, not twice, but three times. Yet God showed up each time, proving his patience and faithfulness. In today's passage, we see the day of the battle. Gideon must have thought, "Phew, okay, 32,000 people showed up. Looks like this battle might go pretty okay." But God then asked Gideon to ask whoever is fearful and trembling to leave. 22,000 leave and only 10,000 people remain. Okay, 10,000, not too shabby. We might be all right. But then God asked Gideon to test the remaining to see how they will drink water. Those who lap the water with their hands while standing up will remain, and the others will be sent home. The 10,000 then sharply declines to 300 men. To give context, there were 135,000 Midianite men. If I did the math correctly, the odds went from one Israelite man facing about 4 to 5 opponents to now one person for every 450 Midianites. That's crazy. So why did God dwindle down 32,000 troops to a mere 300? Verse 2 says, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" This reminded me of Pastor Barry's sermon from this past Sunday about how we are so accustomed to boasting about so many things other than Christ. Do we boast in ourselves or boast in Christ? God is demonstrating here that there is power in our weakness. He is making it very clear that the victory is coming from Him and not from the people. Have you been in a situation like this before? Perhaps you felt like you had a list of things that made you qualified, and God was stripping them down one by one. Perhaps you felt vulnerable and weak, but God showed up, didn't He? When I was a senior in high school, I got into an honors psychology program at UMass Amherst with nearly a full scholarship. I felt so proud of all the hard work I had put in over the years, all the late nights and grit I had to push through, all my schoolwork and extracurriculars was so worth it. But in my second semester, I was struggling with severe depression, was hospitalized, and missed a ton of school. Although I was able to keep up with my studies, UMass rescinded their admissions decision 1 month prior to school starting. I was absolutely devastated and felt like my whole world was over. No other school would let me in, and it was too late to apply to gap year programs. Everything I worked so hard for was all for nothing. I felt like the 32,000 security I had in my life was being stripped away by the thousands. My academics, my social life, my future, my mental health, my identity, I felt so weak and helpless. But God showed up and redirected His path for me. That led me directly into me giving my life to Jesus 1 year later. So now when I look back at that season of my life, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God carried me. I had nothing left to show for myself, yet I made it out, not because of my own strength, but because of the victory that God had promised to me. Another amazing thing about this passage is this dream that his fellow men had about the barley bread tumbling into the Midianite camp, striking and upturning the tents. Back then, barley was basically the equivalent of dog food. There's nothing special about it, and it was meant for animals. Yet this unsuspicious and ordinary bread flipped tents and caused ruckus for the Midianites. Perhaps you sometimes feel inadequate and not fit to be used by God. Today's passage is a beautiful reminder that through our weakness, through our ordinariness, God can use us to do extraordinary things. Which brings me to this thought. I'm so curious to know the stories of the 300 men. What were they like? Why did they decide to stay when Gideon dismissed anyone who was afraid to leave? What experiences had they had with God that gave them courage and boldness? When they were secretly tested to see how they drank water, these 300 men all stood up and laughed with their hands instead of crouching over. They were attentive and aware of their surroundings and didn't back down. God could have given Gideon many other terms to help sort through these 32,000. Pick the tallest 300 men, the strongest and the most buff. Pick the most agile and skilled with a sword. But no, God tested the heart. I wonder who these 300 were and how their life experiences taught them to be on guard and alert for the enemy. Perhaps they too also felt ordinary, yet God used them mightily to destroy the enemy. So my closing thought is this. What is your story? Are you able to be the remaining 300? Let's be like the 300 remaining men, fit to be used for God's kingdom, not because of our strength or grit, but because of our trust in God's victory. Let's embrace our weaknesses and devote ourselves to God's kingdom today. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today's word that serves as such a big encouragement that God, you are working, you are active and alive. Lord, forgive us for putting so much dependence and reliance on the 32,000 of our lives. God, I pray that as you strip away these things that we have falsely built our identity on, that you would reveal to us that you are victorious, that you are dependable, trustworthy, and good. Help us, God, today to grow in our faith and trust in you so that we may boast not in ourselves, but in you, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.